Now, that word signs would later be changed to this word that we're seeing up here. That's the Maseroth, okay? And remember, this was a systematic approach. And what we learn is that what God was speaking of there were what we would call today the constellations. That God has established His witness within the heavens so that every person on earth, every day of their life, throughout the history of the earth, would constantly have the Word of God in their face. That's why God did that. And as the earth rotates and the earth goes and we see and you can look up at the sky at night, and as nowadays, I mean, I can't even imagine what David and those guys would have done with some of the apps that we have. I have the coolest app on my phone. I'm sure many of you do. Google Sky. I don't know if you've ever done that. If you don't, get it. It's really cool because you can just hold it up, even in the house. You don't have to be outside. And just hold it up and just go, oh, look, there's Leo. Oh, check it out. It's Saturn. It's the coolest dang thing. Could you imagine what David would have done with that? Holy cow. But anyways, so it's this amazing thing. But like if you're like me, I know some people look up there and they see very clearly what's going on. But for me, it just looks like a bunch of dots. Okay, until I found this passage, Psalm 19 has been a huge part of my life for years. In fact, in Belize, I remember we were with the medical team one night, and we used to do these medical outreaches. And one of the villages that we went to was about almost 3 hours out. This place called Atasha. And it was way, way out there. And because it was so far, we stayed in the village. It was just too far to bring the meds and all of the stuff that we did. And so we did the clinic at their little town, their little town hall there, which was just a tiny little building. But so there was no room for all of us to sleep. But there was this, somebody apparently was going to put a building in there, and they had this big slab, which was all mildewed up and stuff, because it's the Belize, it's the rainforest. But we decided that it was too hot to stay in this room. And so we went outside, many of us, not all of us, because some of them were afraid of the critters. And you should be, because there's lots of them there. But we thought, you know what, whatever. So as we were out there on this slab, we were all laying there, and we were all talking about the heavens. And I just started sharing, because Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. And every day they pour out their speech, and there's nowhere that their voice isn't heard. And we just sat there and marveled at the stars. Now, I couldn't pick anything out of those stars, the Big Dipper maybe, but that's about it. But I knew that it said something. And it wasn't, until later that I started to look into this stuff, and I started realizing, wow, these things, these constellations are really signs that God has put there to show what He is going to do on behalf of man. Now, what's interesting about this, as we move through this, you're going to see that the declaration within the stars is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I want you to think about something. Paul said that the gospel and what Christ would do with us was written down before the foundations of the earth, exactly what Genesis tells us. Because the earth has already been formed, but it has not been filled. But already, the program of God, the plan of redemption, has already been revealed before there's even an earth. I wonder if that's what Paul had in mind. We're going to see that that's exactly what Paul had in mind, because he's going to remind the guys at Athens just who it is that put those things up there. So as we move through this, we're going to see this. Now, that name, the 12 signs, the Maseroth is the Hebrew of it, that became what was known as the Zodiac. Now, we hear Zodiac, and as believers, we freak out, it's witchcraft, it's all this stuff. And for the most part, it is, sadly, because the enemy, as he always does, is going to pervert the message of God. That's just what he does. And he's been very successful at it. But the reality is, the Zodiac simply means basically a movement, very similar to the word here. So when we talk about the Zodiac, we're looking at it from a biblical perspective. We're on solid ground. But we're not mesmerized by the stars. We don't need the stars anymore. They're not important. Well, they're important, but they're not life and death. This is God's word now. You don't have to understand the stars. Right here it is. Okay? But it's fun to see this, because you got to keep in mind now, for 2,000 years, this didn't exist. How did these people know about God? The guys we've been talking about in Job and his buddies. How did they know the plan of God and what God was going to do with man? How did Job know that in spite of what was happening to him, that someday he would stand before his Redeemer? And when he didn't have a scripture, Job is the oldest book in the scripture, written before even Abraham. I mean, that's way back there. How did he know? The heavens. Because the heavens declare the glory of God. and show his handiwork, not just in the heavens themselves, but in what God would do with all of creation. So that becomes known as the Masoret. Now, one last thing before we jump into this. We talked about last week, when you look at the stars and you even see charts or something, you go on the website and you, or any websites, and you look up any of the constellations, you'll see that there's various forms. In other words, we're going to be looking at Virgo very clearly here tonight. But you're going to see that like so the sign of Virgo, one kind of looks like a stick-figured lady with two legs, and she's kind of just odd-shaped. Well, you can see a lady. Others are going to say, no, Virgo looks kind of like this Y with this big thing over here and then a big branch up, so it doesn't look like a lady at all. Well, what the crud is going on there? Well, God didn't intend for us to sit and draw with a pencil dot A to dot B and come up with a lady. What happened was when he established those stars, in particular as signs, what he did is he obviously revealed to Adam what was going on. Now remember, Adam is going to name all of the creatures within the framework of the earth, is he not? When we get to that point in Genesis chapter 3, we're going to see that this is called the dominion mandate. That everything within the physical realm where Adam exists, that he was given dominion over, he is given the right to name them. But he does not name the stars. God names the stars. So when you think about this and how throughout history, and I've told you last week, and you can check this out if you don't believe me, you can go all the way back in any culture that you want to go as far back as you want, and you will find that they all understood precisely what these stars were. And that's the names. Now, those names were changed later on and perverted and twisted and so on and so forth. The names that we see today, for the most part, are Latin. Okay? So when we're talking about these things, we're using the names that God called them by, which obviously came through the Hebrew. Okay, so many of the names we're going to look at. So in other words, when those people looked at that cluster of stars, it's like this. It's like, Dad, what is that right there? Well, listen, Seth, God told me that that group of stars right there speaks of the virgin. And remember, Seth, the promise that God made to Mom? On the day he said that I'm going to bring a seed through the woman and the seed will crush the head of the serpent. That's what those stars represent right there. That's what God is doing. You see how it works? And then over here, if you look to the right, you see Leo, that ultimately a ruler, as you follow the constellations around, starting with Virgo, what they would have called Bethula, they would have called it Bethula. If you start with Bethula and you understand the virgin and the child that will come from the virgin, and you follow the constellations in logic order, the last one that you come to is Leo, the lion, the righteous, the ruler. So ultimately, the virgin would give birth to he who would rule all things. That's what the stars are, Seth. That's what God told us he was going to do. That is his promise. Now think about that for a second. That's pretty amazing. Because already, in spite of all of this stuff, Adam is able to communicate the gospel to his son. Now remember Paul again in Romans chapter 1. Though they knew the truth, they suppressed the truth. He's speaking of those days, especially by the flood and stuff. So understand that when we're using these modern equivalents, what we're talking about is the identification that the Jews, or the Hebrews first, that they had of these places and how they recognized what God was going to do. Okay? We're going to see how that relates. So if there's these 12 signs, and here they are. You can see them on your notes. Of course, it's a little clearer up here. There's the 12. Now, today, we're told by astrologers, astronomers, and the like, that actually, because it's a circle, as you can see, imagine that, the circle of 12, Masoret. And by the way, God challenges Job because they had thought they would take God's place and try to figure out what's going on when God said, who darkens my counsel? Who is this? What are you guys talking about? And God said, literally, can you, guys, any of you guys, can you call out the Masoret? And that's what he's talking about here. Those signs, the signs that God says, can you do that? No, you can't. Of course not, because I put them in place. So this is the place. But they're in a circle, as you can see. Now notice the sun in the center there and how the earth rotates around it. So that at any given time, certain of those things are going to be visible in our skies and maybe not so visible when we're, you know, in the difference between May there and, the halfway point there between September and January, you can see. That's why you don't see the same stars all the time. But you'll see parts of them and they'll be in different places in the sky, but you don't. But notice how the rotation of the earth is following those things. Now, I could get into all this stuff. When Kenny was in the office today, I was going through all this stuff because you got ecliptics, you got equinox, you got winter solstice, you got summer solstice, and I was like, what the heck is all of that? But I went and I read it, and it's the coolest thing. And I'd love to share it with you, but it's huge and really boring, but fascinating. But it basically means that wherever you are around the sun, that the constellations are always visible because the Earth spins. So anywhere you are, it's just different ones are going to show up and based on the distance from the sun and so on and so forth. Anyway, so the question becomes then, well, if that's all a circle and everything is clearly moving in a circle here, you can clearly see that. The Earth, by the way, travels around its orbit counterclockwise. Okay? Well, where do you start? What's the first sign? And as I said, modern astronomers, modern astrologers, they start with Aries. And they've got several different reasons for that. But the reasons are obvious. It's to deny the ultimate starting point. Okay? Because the ultimate starting point is, as I already said, is Virgo. That's the beginning place. Well, how do you know that, Rick? You can't be sure. Sure we can. I'm going to show you why. Actually, you can cheat because you can see it on your papers there. But we're going to start with Virgo. So if you start at Virgo and you make a counterclockwise journey around. Obviously, there's Libra, there's Scorpio. I'm going to show you towards the end of this, not tonight, but in the next couple of weeks, that Bollinger put out this thing, and he calls this the Heavenly Scroll. And that each of the four constellations, he calls them a book. Well, there's three sets of four. There's book one, book two, book three. And each speak of particular things that Christ is going to do. I'm going to show you how all those happen. Now, of course, it's twisted, it's perverted. It's become what we know today as astrology, which is a bunch of garbage. But nevertheless, the reality is there. So we're going to start at Virgo. As you move all the way around, okay, then obviously the last, imagine that, Leo. Now notice something before we even start here. Notice the closeness between the virgin, who is going to be with child, we're going to see here in just a minute, and the one that will reign. Notice that they're right next to each other. Now that in and of itself ought to tell you something, even if you're a doubter. I mean, how come Leo, in other words, isn't all the way on the other side of the dang universe? Why does it just so happen that it's next to Virgo, based on these old names? Okay? And names that we're talking go back like 4,000, 5,000 years. Okay? Because that's the way that God established them. So how do we know to start there? Well, in 1820, okay, there was a discovery made in Egypt, in the temple of Esne, okay? And by this fellow, you can see here, my screen has fallen, so I can't really see this thing very clearly. But you can see that his name was Cooper. This is what he discovered. This is a drawing of what he saw inside the temple of Esne, okay? What you see here, this is in the British Museum, and it's in Egypt as well, and this is what he drew, okay? Now, obviously, he's drawing what would later become known as the Sphinx. Okay, well, they would have known as the Sphinx too. But notice the two halves. The one on the left is the lion. The one on the right is the woman's head. And the woman, it's a virgin, in other words. And they know this because of the words that were found there. Now, this was called the Sphinx because the word Sphinx means to bind closely together. So this is why we know the Egyptians and what they did. And we're going to see that Egypt was huge in giving us the reality of what the Maseroth is all about. Did you catch that? The Egyptians are going to support what the Jews have always said about their creator God. Isn't that interesting? Notice that they're in their drawing in Egypt, they're recognizing Leo. And everybody knew that Leo represented Israel. It was always associated with Judah. The Lion of Judah, okay, always, since there was an Israel anyways, okay. So you can see this whole thing going on, okay. Now this is really interesting because this is so old. I mean, this dates back to, I want to say, I didn't write the dates. I should have written the dates. I can't see my dang screen. But I mean the drawing, what he drew, dates back, I want to say, like 500 years before Abraham. Okay, that's how old this is. Now, why is this significant? Now, notice also, have you ever heard anybody when you watch those Egyptian programs on TV, on the History Channel or the Discovery Channel, ever mention any of this? And yet, there it is. Cannot be denied. And you know what else they found in there as they translated some of the hieroglyphs? Here it is again. Oops, there we go. That the lion I put this, yeah, the Alpha, that it starts with the Virgin. And we're going to see all these names. And of course, that's exactly what Christ said of himself. I am the Alpha, Revelation 11:1, he's the beginning, the son of the Virgin Mother, okay? And then he's also the first. But he would go on to say that he's also the Omega. So Virgo and Leo actually now are, you know, identified. It's the Egyptians that did that. Isn't that the coolest thing? They understood what Jesus, some 2,000 years later, would tell them. They understood it. Now, you could follow this over into Sanskrit, over in India. You could follow it in ancient Arabic, in Arabic, in Aramaic, in Syriac, in Chaldean, in Hebrew, obviously. You can go on and on, all of the languages as far back as you want to go, and they all say the same things. But it's the Egyptians that put it into monument form. And I don't know if you know this or not, but there are many solid believers, people, Bible archaeologists and so on and so forth, that believe that the pyramids are in reality a testimony to the true God of Israel. That the whole design. And interestingly enough, when you read the description of the New Jerusalem, we know that it's basically a cube. It's got the same measurements, height, width, length, right? Do you know the only other object from geometry that is equal on all of its parts and all of its sides? Take a guess. Pyramid. Imagine that. And interestingly enough, I should have looked this up. This just popped into my mind, so I don't have the references, but I can find it if you want. There's a reference in, I want to say it's Isaiah, where God says that he has left a monument to the truth of his name. And he describes a place where two borders come together, and he has left that. Guess what sits on that border today? The Giza pyramids. The Great Pyramid sits right there. Now, is God saying the pyramid is? We don't know. But it's kind of fascinating that the exact area that God defines and the exact boundary is precisely where this thing sits. And this is what they find in front of it. Isn't that cool? Anyways. Okay, so let's go a little further. So let's take a look at these. Now, we could do this with every one of these things, but I don't want to bore anybody because there is a ton of stuff, okay? But what we're going to do is we're going to start with Virgo, and then we're going to go and we're going to jump to Leo, and we're going to look at all of this, these names of these stars and all of this stuff, so you guys can see that, again, that what God has done has been very clear to every culture, to every generation, of every people on the face of this earth. He's never, in other words, left himself without witness, ever, okay? So Virgo, this is speaking clearly, when you look at it, Bethula is the Hebrew, and it's speaking of Genesis 3:15. And I will put enmity between your seed, speaking to Eve, the seed of the woman, and the serpent, and he will bruise your heel, but you will crush his head. Guess what you see in the stars? Just that. We're going to see that when we get to constellations, Orion. We're going to look at Orion because Job talks about that. And we're going to see that even in the heavens, there's Lupus the snake, the serpent, and there's Orion, and he's stomping on the snake. Just exactly what God said in Genesis chapter 3. I mean, you can't deny this stuff. It's just, unless you're a moron, okay? You have to completely, willfully, intentionally reject all of the truth, okay? So virgin, the promised seed. Okay, here are the different names. Obviously, the name we know it as Virgo is a Latin word, okay? And obviously, it means the virgin. In both the Hebrew and the Syriac language, it was Bethula. And Bethula means the virgin. It's the same word in Isaiah chapter said, and the virgin shall be with child. Okay, that's what's used there. The Greek Parthenos. And it means a maid or a virgin, a maid of virgin pureness. Sorry about that. I put the slash there because it wanted to jump down. But then in Arabic, Adara, and that means the pure virgin. And in ancient Arabic, even further back, it's Sunbul, and it speaks of an Iroquoian. Oh, see there? It doesn't go all the way back to virgin. No. You have to understand the whole constellation. Because the ear of corn speaks of the child that Virgo, the stars are going to indicate that she's holding. That the child's life, what the child would give his life up. Isn't that just what Jesus told us he would do? You see, if a seed of corn isn't placed into the ground and dies, it doesn't produce life. Imagine that. So it's all connected, okay? Now, the stars that make up the constellation. Now, there's many more, okay? Trust me. But again, we could go on. There's like some odd 100 and whatever stars that are within the framework of the constellation of Virgo, okay? And they range in brightness and so on and so forth. So they ascribe this as an A star, this is a B star, whatever the case may be. That's why when you look at charts, sometimes you'll see B or A, and then it'll give you the magnitude of the star instead of the names. It's really frustrating to not find the names. But these are the names of the stars according to some of the stars, some of the major stars in it, according to the brightness. The first one is a star called Spica, okay? And obviously, that's a Latin word. And guess what it ties back to? Well, an ear or seed of corn. Imagine that. Okay? Genesis 3:15, you can see that. That star, Spica, in the Hebrew, is called Zerah, or the seed. Imagine that. John chapter 12, that's the passage I was talking about. This word is really cool. And I really wrestled with whether or not we should develop this out. But I didn't. We're just going to touch on it. Samech. That's how you say that word. This is ancient Hebrew and means the branch. And it means righteous branch. There's 20 some odd words of that deal with the branch used in the Old Testament. But only one, Tzemek, is used four times, and it's never used of anyone except the righteous branch of Jesse. In other words, the Messiah. It's the only time that word is used. Notice what that star was called. The righteous branch. Because if you look at it in the Virgo, she's got an ear of corn. I think it's in her left hand. And in the right hand, she has a branch. Okay? And that's what this is all about. Now, there's just a few of the many references there. You can see there in Jeremiah 23, Zechariah 3, and then even over into chapter 6. But it's speaking of not just the branch, but the righteous branch. Okay, so as far back as you can go. And then there's Savijave, is the Hebrew there, and it means gloriously beautiful. And again, in Isaiah, it talks about the beauty of the Messiah that was to come. Al-Muradim is Arabian, and it means, check this out. Now, folks, this is Arabian, okay? He who shall come down shall have dominion. Who's that speaking of? The virgin seed, the son of the virgin. Even the Arabs understood that. Isn't it amazing? And there again, you can see Isaiah 7:14, right? And the virgin shall be with child. And then there's Vindimietrix, that son or the branch who comes. And there it is, Isaiah chapter 11. So again, what are we trying to say? We're trying to say that when God named these stars, passed them on to Adam, Adam passed them on to Seth, Seth passed them on to Enosh, all the way down the line, okay, that when they looked at the stars, they identified these stars as part of a larger group called Virgo, a constellation, and every star that God named within that thing was speaking of the Messiah who would come into this world through a virgin birth. That's ultimately what we're talking about here. And we could go on and on and on. Okay, if you want to have some really cool stuff, go on and you can look up Bullinger, you got Fleming, you got all these different guys that put these books out, The Gospel and the Stars, you know, the Heavenly Scroll, you go in, and they're fascinating books, but let me tell you, make sure your head is prepared, because man, is it getting, especially Bullinger, a guy who wrote in 1863, and it's like, dude, I live in 2013, I'm not really getting a lot of what you're saying here, but it's really cool, the stuff that he talks about. So I challenge you to go in and check all this stuff out, because the world will tell you that this is wrong. The world will reverse it, as it always does. And they'll tell you that Christianity is based on the ancient religions that had this, and Christianity is just one religion that took it and ran this direction with it. But what they're missing is that all of the others are, that Christianity, along with every other religion, is not the perversion of some original language, but all of the other religions are a perversion of Christianity. Because Christianity has been established. That's the point of showing the name of the stars so far back, before any of these other religions were developed. It was already in the stars. It was already there. So where is the perversion then, ultimately? In Christianity and what the Bible says? No, just the opposite. You see, the world has a tendency to do that, don't they? They always want to reverse things, like Sagan did looking at the earth. We've talked about this many times. He looks at the heavens and takes the shot from the telescope out there and sees the earth, and he calls the earth just one small speck. What's wrong with that? He's looking at it from the wrong angle. The earth is not the small speck. The earth, all of this exists because of the earth, because the heavens declare the glory of God. So you see, it's all a matter of where you stand. The difference is we have stuff that dates back to the beginning. They only have hope that their theories and their, you know, whatever are wrong. The scripture goes back and tells us all these things. That's how we know. And every culture that they've identified has verified that. But of course, they're never going to tell us that, because then they would have to admit, of course, that they're wrong. And they're not going to do that. That's why you never hear about the stars being called that. They're going to stay with the Latin names. Because if you keep with the Latin names, you can tie it to mythology. You can tie it to all the gods of the Greeks and everybody else, and tie and see how, well, that Greek, you know, this Greek perspective of this particular thing, well, this is closely related to the Babylonians, and go back and see, and all these ancient, well, they all had this, and now everybody has a flood story, and you guys in the Bible, you just got another one of the stories. No, all the other stories are a screwed up mess from the original story. That's the problem. You're looking at it from the wrong angle. But soon enough, they will stand before the author, and he will remind them very sadly that they've been looking wrongly the whole time. Okay? And interestingly enough, there was an inscription. Again, you never find any of this stuff. An inscription that was found in Gaul 100 years BC. Okay? And this is what it says, as this guy was writing about the heavens and looking at this particular star. Now, this is a guy from Europe. Okay, we tied it to Egypt. Now let's tie it to Europe. 100 years BC, so basically, you know, about roughly 2,100 years ago. And this is what he wrote: to the virgin who is to bring, I can't read mine, who is to bring forth. And what he's talking about is to bring forth the one that was promised, the promised seed, as God said, your seed shall crush his head. So you see, no matter what culture you look at, what time frame you look at, what continent you look at, the story is consistent. Because God said they would be for signs. He meant what he said. And all you have to do is be willing to admit it and to look at it. So here you see it, okay? Here's what it looks like. This is what Virgo looks like on these charts. Now there you can see, this is what she looks like here, and I've got another picture that I want to show you. But clearly, now you can kind of see a chick here. But again, see, everybody's trying to make this look like a virgin. Some maiden, in other words, okay? But the reality of it is, there's no indication that there was a picture in the heavens. It's the names of the stars and the groupings of the stars that God established, not some picture that we try to draw. How do we know that? Well, because here's another picture of Virgo. Quite different, wouldn't you say? Because, see, they selected only the certain number of stars that they want to identify with, whereas the other guys identified the one. So my whole point in showing you this is what it actually looks like. If you look in the heavens, I love Leo on the left. You can see it. It doesn't look like a lion to me. It looks like a tweaked hanger. But anyways, but that's the reason I wanted to put that up there, to show you that. So that was a drawing, and, you know, a conception of what this would look like. But here's the reality of it. Okay, this is what it really looked like. Well, because we said the same thing. Okay, there now also understand there are 12 major constellations. Okay. But within each constellation, there are three minor constellations, which are called the Cans. I'm never going to finish this. I'm going to have to finish with this right here. Marie is giving me a look. So my Virgo is beginning to speak. So the Decans. Now, interestingly enough, because God aligned these and set these up, you know, he said, look, and if you look at this group of stars, this is it. And this is what Adam would have passed on to Seth. But if you look just off to the left, there's another cluster of stars. And they don't say the exact same thing, but they expand what's going on. There's three of those, okay? Notice, the Decan word means a part or something that completes, okay? So there are three of these things. So there's 12 constellations, major constellations, with three decans each. So there's a total of 48. Anybody catching the multiples of 12 here? Isn't it interesting? Okay? There are three decans for each of the 12 constellations. 12 constellations plus the 36 decans, there's 28. Okay? Now, here are the decans. In other words, the minor, if you will, constellations associated with Virgo. If you look at a map, I was just looking at it today, you see Coma and Boots very clearly. Okay? They're just like, there's Virgo is right here, Boots is over here, and this is not our Boots, by the way, and Boots is over here, and Calma is up here, and none of the pictures actually brought in Centaurus, because I don't know where it's at, I couldn't tell, but it looks like it's north of that. I don't know, couldn't tell, but it's associated with this. Now this is really cool, and I'm going to have to finish with this. The Decans. The first Decan, Coma. If you trace it back again like we did, and I just didn't want to do it because we don't need to keep seeing all these ancient words. Just trust me. If you want to do this, hey, more power to you, because it's really cool to do. But the Decan, Coma, you trace all of those names of that back in any of those languages we've already identified, and guess what they say? The desired son. Interestingly enough, the virgin, and she's associated with the virgin holding the infant child. Gee, imagine that. Now remember, God did this on day 4 of creation. That's what you got to keep in mind here, because that is staggering when you really get a hold of that. The next decan in that is called Centaurus. Now we know what a centaur is. It's a Greek mythological figure that's half horse, half man, right? The head of a man, the body of a horse. And we all go, ooh, and stuff like that. And we should, because that's a perversion. Because within the constellation, or the decan, I should say, of Centaurus, it's associated with two natures. Oh, I get it. There's two natures that are involved in here. That morphed into a horse and a man in Greek mythology. But all it's saying, as God established it, is that the desired son would have two natures. And because he had two natures, he would be despised. Because it means despised, because of the two natures. Creature of two natures. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, right? And then in verse 14, and we beheld his glory as one of the Son of God, and he came in the flesh, you know, blah, blah, blah. And he was clearly despised, Isaiah chapter 53. The one thing the Jews couldn't be above everything else was his claims to be God. They hated him for that. Many other things as well, obviously. But that they really hated. How can you, being a man, equate yourself with God? Before Abraham was, Jesus had said, I am. He told them very clearly who he was. I'm Yahweh. Well, the two natures, and they hated him. Okay, so he was despised. But then Boots, the names of the stars within that, all speak of the coming one. And interestingly enough, it's associated with the stars, and that some of the stars, the lesser stars within this decan, are related to a sickle and a shepherd's staff. And remember, we're going back before Abraham, before Job, before the Egyptian pyramids. That's when these names were given. You see what the point we're trying to get at here? And of course, in Revelation 14, John, the Apostle John, sees the Lord stand up, and he's got a sharp sickle in his hand. And then Jesus, in John chapter 7, said, I am the good shepherd. Right? So no matter how you look, the way God named these, and no matter how they came down through all of the different cultures, through all the different linguistical changes, no matter how they did, they all say the same thing. That a virgin is going to give birth to a son who is going to be the branch of what would ultimately be the Israeli people. His life, like a corn of seed of corn, would be buried in the ground, but because of that, he would bring to life. He is the desired son, he's also the despised one, and he's also coming back again because he's the coming one. That's what Adam would have seen when he looked at the constellation of Virgo and its decans. What a tragedy to have twisted it to what it is today. Scripture says for sure, Psalm 19, remember, the heavens declare the glory of God. The constellation of Virgo certainly does. Now we could do this for each of the other 11. We're only going to look at Leo because we just don't have time to get into all that. But my point once again is, when you look at the stars now, I hope that you walk out there and go, whoa. If you're like me all those years, I had no idea that every time I walk out there and those things above me are clearly speaking to me of the love that my God has for me, that he would enter this life and give his life for me so that I could receive the promise to be in his presence beyond the signs of the heavens. That's amazing. That is absolutely amazing. Okay? So that's what I'm trying to communicate. Now, we'll look at Leo next time, but we don't have time to get into it tonight. And then we're going to look at a couple of different angles from this to show you some other things. We still have seasons and days to go. After signs. We haven't finished signs yet. But I want to show you, because stars were directly related to the signs, but days, year, seasons and days are going to be related to things on the earth, because they're all tied into God establishing the feasts, quote unquote, of Israel, which all speak of who? Jesus. Absolutely, there's no question about it. And you know what the word feast is? Appointed. We call it feasts because it's a feast day. It's a day that's appointed to celebrate. But when God said, I want you to observe the feast of Passover, what he was really saying was, I want you to celebrate. I want you to celebrate the appointed time of Passover. Well, when had it been appointed? Well, if we go into cancer and we look at the suffering Savior, we get all that, it had already been organized out there. God was just lining the Jews up with what he had already revealed in the heavens. It's amazing when you really stop to think about this. All right? So bring your notes back next week, okay? Two weeks. Come back, because I'll be gone next